Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited about today's program. We have so many wonderful things to discuss and share and unpack with you. But I want to welcome all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast. All of those from Mississippi all the way to Sandestin, we encourage every single day to be with you in your living rooms Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Joining me in the studio here to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And Steve Kolaszewski.
Hello, sir.
Good day. Hello.
Good day, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have so much to share and talk with you about, and there's so many things that are happening on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. That we try to do our very best to bring you not just the news, but a biblical perspective to what is happening in the news all around us. Mm-hmm. And it's ever-changing all the time. But in today's program, we're going to be discussing Israel and what has happened now with this new ceasefire. I saw a cartoon that said had Israel on one side of a table, mm-hmm. and then it had leaders of Hamas at another side of the table, and Israel says, ceasefire, and the people of Hamas says, yes, ceasefire, and the caption says, out of bullets. I mean, they have no choice. They have no choice. Hamas has to agree
finally
to
run out of rockets.
Yeah, they finally run out of rockets. Their cachet is low. That's what basically the humor behind the cartoon was about. But the prime minister is getting some flack in regards to why this has happened from mm-hmm. certain groups, because they wanted a more definitive. But believe me, you're going to hear from BB a little bit. You're going to hear a little bit about this was decisive, and this is action that he had to take. But also understand that he made it clear that if there's even a drizzle of rockets, Israel will respond. So I think that that is made clear. We're also going to be discussing Boko Haram. God spoke to me in a dream and spoke to me a little bit about Boko Haram. We're going to be sharing about that and this terrorist organization and what they're doing and how this can come back later, to affect Israel. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of working together there. But definitely we want to pray. Rick Joyner just had a prophetic encounter that we're going to talk about. One that he hasn't had in years. And if you know anything about Rick Joyner, he's had a few.
He's had one or two.
One or two. But we're going to talk about his last one that was pretty encouraging just the other night. You don't want to miss it. We're going to be sharing that. And, of course, we do have some encouraging words from the kid president. Mm. Yes, we have him. You're going to hear from him yourself, and you're going to be encouraged. But let's jump right into today's program. I want to make sure that we have enough time to cover it. Don't forget that we are two programs back-to-back. And, of course, if you miss us on the Gulf Coast on CTN, you can always listen live at VFNTV.com. Download the app. We have podcasts. Every which way that we can get connected with you, we want to stay connected. Mm-hmm. And, of course, sign up for the newsletter. Everything's available for you. Doesn't cost you a thing. Go to VFNTV.com to get all the ways you can connect. But I want to talk, Pat, about what's happening in Israel, because they just brokered this last ceasefire. Up to this point, there was 11 ceasefires that Hamas broke.
Wow.
But they just brokered this last one, and it seems like this one is going to stick around here for a little while. But basically, the prime minister, within 24 hours of this, addressed the nation of Israel and wanted to give them a perspective as to what's happening and why. We have this live report. Just want to bring it briefly. Want to share that with you now.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says his country achieved a great military and political victory over Hamas in the latest round of fighting in the Gaza Strip. But the Egyptian ceasefire proposal that went into effect Tuesday is sparking concern. A report in the London Telegraph says more than half of Israel's cabinet members oppose the deal and are furious that the prime minister did not consult them on it. It also appears the majority of the Israeli public is skeptical. A new poll published in the left-leaning Haaretz newspaper shows that 54% of Israelis believe there was no clear winner after this summer's war.
Amazing. Here you have it. Ceasefire. And what they want to make sure, it says, one of the things that was being reported is that as to whether the quiet will last, it's too early to tell, he said. This is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But Israel is prepared for all possibilities and will respond more harshly than ever to even a drizzle of rockets. And one of the things that, listen, another commander said, we basically took care of them, a general rather, and he says, we won't be hearing from them. We've decimated their ability to come back at us with that type of force. But understand that one of the things that can happen is protective edge operations lasted nearly about 50 days or so, 50 plus days. And one of the things that we can get sidetracked in all of this is just to kind of forget and think it's all over. But we want you to remember to keep praying for Israel. Mm-hmm. We are in the middle of 18 months of the four blood moon season.
That's right.
And it always starts in tragedy for Israel and it ends in joy. And I just feel in my spirit that this is not done. This is a temporary pause. And one of the reasons that I believe that is because of a dream that the Lord gave me just a few days after Protective Edge started. And in that dream, I was with several people, some people from the team here, actually, and we were in a room where breaking news was just coming out, and someone shared a headline that read, "Breaking news, bomb on bus in Israel, 600 people dead." Now, understand that... This is a dream that was given to me. Understand that Protective Edge started with three young men that were kidnapped and killed and thrown on the side of the road. Understand that this prophetic fulfillment happened. 600 people die in a bus, a bomb. This is will be horrific. So we do want to pray against that it doesn't happen. But understand that there are some trying days ahead for Israel, and this could be a calm before a bigger storm. There are people that continually want to wipe Israel out, and ISIS is still on the move. You have Hezbollah in the north and in Lebanon, and Syria can go either way. I mean, right now, they're still trying to develop strategies, the president is, and how they're going to deal with some of the stuff that's happening in the Middle East. Everything's on the table, it appears, and so they're still trying to, you know, they have some strategies for some things, and still need strategies for other things. And we just need to pray. This is a serious, serious thing. And just the other night, Steve, in a dream, I hear the words Boko Haram. And that's happened twice this week. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about all of that is that if you remember, Boko Haram is a terrorist organization in Nigeria that kidnapped 200 Christian girls. Mm-hmm. There was a big campaign that you saw people on social media putting a little sign, even, you know, members of the government were saying, you know, free the girls. The girls are not free. Mm-hmm. They're not free. They haven't been found. Last reports are that drones have been going all over North Africa and Nigeria, which is part of, I believe, the Arab League there, and still no girls. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting in all of that, because they want a caliphate too. In Nigeria. They want a caliphate too. This is Boko Haram and those jihadists. And they are all about maiming, hurting, raping, killing. I mean, it's horrific. It's demonic. And they want a caliphate. They want a caliphate. When we get back from a break, we're going to talk more about this gentleman, Dr. Stephen Davis, who is a Christian, who he calls himself an amateur peacemaker. Right from the very beginning, this man went over to Nigeria to try to communicate with these terrorists to save some of the girls. And it's going to be interesting to hear what happened and what he was able to do for a few of the girls there. You don't want to miss it. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Do public schools allow all religious clubs to exist? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
At our little school here in California, Grammar School, someone erected a large Indian totem pole without permission. Nobody knows who put it there. And it even has a little altar. And I was wondering, what can we do to get this removed without it hurting, you know, our Christian things that we want to do at the school?
The First Amendment protects Bible clubs from meeting. On the junior high level, it's the First Amendment. On the senior high level, of course, it's the First Amendment and the Equal Access Act. But even on the elementary school campuses, the Supreme Court has said that this is protected activity and it's constitutional, so it could take place there. With the Indian totem pole, so it's really dependent upon the nature and context upon which it's being utilized. But again, that does not impact in a negative way the ability for these Bible clubs and prayer groups to meet. They have the right to meet.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about Boko Haram, this terrorist organization that's waging jihad in Nigeria. A lot of Christians in Nigeria and Africa, part of the Arab League there. And last time we heard a lot about Boko Haram is when they've kidnapped 200 schoolgirls. Mm-hmm. And reports are they've sold some of them as sex slaves. They're missing. Nobody knows where they're at. The United States is flying drones over them. There was a big campaign to rescue these girls with signs and free the girls. Where are they? Well, we need to find them, and we can't forget about them. But there was a gentleman by the name of Dr. Stephen Davis from Australia. The Sydney Morning Herald is reporting about this man. In fact, we have a picture of him. He was actually on his own, went on a solo mission. He calls himself an amateur peacemaker is what he calls himself. And he went over himself. Look at that. He's surrounded by Boko Haram soldiers, militants with all kind of machine guns and bullets, and these guys are not covered. They don't mind showing their faces.
Right.
But anyhow, he went over there to try to negotiate some of these girls' release. He's done a lot of things. He's a devout Christian. The article speaks about him. But he actually served two presidents in Nigeria and actually negotiated before with terrorists on behalf of the government. So he does have some experience in this. In a nutshell, what happened is that he was actually able to communicate with these terrorists, and four of the girls were able to get out and escape. They were able to free four of the girls. But then again, because of political infighting and some of the things that happened, believe it or not, they couldn't finish this whole thing. I mean, it's just like, so the girls, most of the girls are still held captive.
Wow.
But what was interesting about all of this, and I want to make sure that it's related for you so that you can unpack and dig deeper and read for yourself. What's interesting about that is what he said that I thought was remarkably interesting, because I don't believe that this was over. As I was praying about Boko Haram and what it meant and why God was showing that to me, is that I truly believe that we're going to see ISIS and more attacks from different jihadists and terrorist organizations come against Israel. And what he talks about, which I thought was interesting, says when Boko Haram links up with ISIL, which ISIL, and there's an interaction between the two, and with terrorist groups, Al-Shabaab, that triangle is going to be a new home for terrorism like the world has not seen. Mm. And I think what's going to happen, and we'll just have to pray and see how it all unfolds, but they're going to be divided amongst themselves, of course, in the beginning, because they all want a caliphate. They all want to be the leader of this caliphate. They all want a caliphate. So it's going to be division. But as always, what's going to unify enemies is going to be their hatred towards Israel.
Right.
And they're going to be unified, and you're going to see a multi-prong attack, if you will. I mean, Nigeria is in North Africa, below Egypt, very close to Israel. You have Hezbollah from the top, ISIL coming from Syria and Iraq, and that's not to mention Iran, who's eerily silent, you know, friends with Assad Syria.
Did you say Iran?
Yeah.
Okay.
Iran, who is friends with Assad, and it was also reportedly supporting Hamas with all type of, you know, weaponry and things of that nature. So it's time for us to continue to pray. It's time for us to stay alert, to be watchmen on the wall in terms of Israel, and not to waver. I mean, right now it's been pretty popular amongst the church to be able to stand for Israel and to stand on Israel's side. But in the coming months, who knows, days, it's not going to be that encouraging for some. And we want to encourage you to stay and stand and support Israel, pray for Israel, and do good for them, because there's a blessing for those who bless Israel.
That's right.
And we want to help to protect the apple of God's eye. But we can't forget that there's a curse for those who curse Israel. And one of the reasons, I mean, those people who are attacking Israel, they're never going to be blessed. They're always going to be live under the curse, because they've been cursing and attacking Israel, and it's never going to go well with them unless they repent. But we have a chance to continue to keep our attention focused there, and to keep our prayers laser focused there, and support them. You know, they've lost quite a bit of revenue because of tourism. Now it's time, hey, pack up, take a trip, buy something in Israel, but stand with them, make it known to friends and to the whole world. In other news, we want to be able to share, I don't know if you saw this, but Rick Joyner posted something on his Facebook, Pat, that I thought was pretty amazing. You know, the month of July, Morningstar Ministries, where he pastors and is an apostle there and all that, they take the month of July off as a sabbatical, the entire month. The whole ministry, the whole church, they take the entire month off to seek the Lord. And recently, in a prophetic bulletin that came out from Rick Joyner, I mean, just days ago, he said that this period of time was tremendous for him. He had amazing encounters with God like he's not had in years, and that he will be unfolding them in the coming prophetic journals and other announcements and speaking about them. But he was super charged and super excited about what he encountered and what the Lord showed him. But just last night, or the day before, this is what Rick Joyner posts. Yesterday in the morning, this is what Rick Joyner posts on his Facebook. Last night, I spent 8 hours in heaven. It was in a series of dreams that began about midnight and lasted until 8 this morning. I've been there before, but never like this. I was shown the key to our eternal joy and how we all have it in our hands to use right now. I will be sharing a lot of this on Morningstar TV and on the Morningstar Journal, and will try to share as much as I can about it at our up-and-coming Harvest Summit, October 16th through the 18th, because this is a major key to the coming harvest, awakening, and revival, and the bride being made ready. The world, listen to this, the world is about to go through hell, but we can be walking in deeper into heaven each day, experiencing the greatest joy of our lives, and able to lead others to it. This is exciting.
Wow.
I can't wait. If you know, one of the things about, I was actually exposed to Rick Joyner's ministry early on during the Brownsville Revival as We've talked about it before. Greg and I were ministering at the Lighthouse, and I had the chance to speak to many of the people that were standing in lines for hours upon hours waiting to get in, and somebody had a book, actually, that it was in the Morningstar Journal about the Final Quest. And from that point on, I got exposed to his ministry, and Rick Jordan's had several encounters. Several encounters, and he's written...
Powerful encounters.
Very encouraging.
Yeah, tons of books, if you will, on these prophetic experiences. And he's also a church historian. I mean, just really just amazing ministry and just amazing gift. And one of his latest books, or actually is a reprint, is the 25th anniversary to a book that he wrote back in the 80s called The Harvest. And that was a result of a series of visions that he had that the Lord showed him regarding the harvest that's going to come in the end days. Well, many of the things that he prophesied have already come to pass. It's been 25 years. Many of the things that he saw has already come to pass. Some of them are the persecutions. We've talked about it here on the program recently about what's occurring on the borders. So there'll be hot borders and a war be going on. I mean, we're here. We're talking about it. It's happening. And he talks about the persecution that's going to be coming to the church. It just so happens that this October, as a result of this revelation, this prophetic vision, they've been having these harvest conferences. It's coming up October 16th through the 18th. And I want to read you a special note that Rick Joyner posted about specifically this year's conference. He says, almost 30 years ago, I was given one of the greatest visions of my life in a 2.5-day prophetic experience. It was about the harvest that is in the end of this age. Since then, preparing the body of Christ for this coming harvest has been a main focus of my life. Our first Morningstar conference was a harvest conference. We later changed the name to Harvest Fest, as it was to be a celebration. And in these annual gatherings, we've had spectacular visitations of the Lord. This year, I was told that we are to have a harvest summit because many would be coming who are called to be leaders in the last and the greatest move of God of all time. The harvest that is at the end of the age. If this purpose burns within you, please consider joining us at Heritage. You can get all the information. We will link it for you on the torch. But he goes on to say in other writings that many of the people that are going to be coming are actually going to be used by God at that time to be able to share some insight and some things into the harvest. But I'm excited about this. Wow. I can't wait to hear more about it, because it's exciting to know that we've been saying this for quite a while, that we're going to be experiencing some of the worst of times and some of the best of times all at the same time. And he says again, you know, the world is going to be going through hell. You know, it's going to be some trying times for folks. It really is. But those that know their God are going to live abundantly, and they're going to do great exploits for him. And we have that chance, you know, that opportunity. You know, we often say, you know, when tragedy hits, there's two lines. You know, one line is to receive help, and the other line is the people passing out the help. We want to be on the other line. God has prepared us. If you haven't got prudent preparation, we want to make sure that that's available for you. But listen, God is preparing us, and you can be prepared too, to be part of this end time harvest, to be serving and helping people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many people are going to be coming to God. They're going to get right with him. They're going to become disciples, abiders, and they're going to lead others to do the same. And that we want to get as many, many into heaven. Listen, the goal is simple. Heaven full, hell empty. Join us. Be a part of seeking God for this third great awakening. It's going to be awesome. And we all have an opportunity to play a role. But we got to be in the game. You got to be in the game. And being in the game is going wholeheartedly after the Lord Jesus Christ, making him not just Savior, but making him the Lord of your life, and abiding with him and obeying everything he tells you to do. More we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did our founders truly want a separation of the church from the state? Absolutely not. And today's We the People segment is going to provide proof from more than 1,000 references. The University of Houston did a study of 15,000 writings from the era of our founders to see what sources were used most often in developing our founding documents. They researched this for 10 years, so it wasn't some quick internet search. This was an extensive study. From the 15,000 writings, they isolated 3,154 direct quotes to see who was quoted most often by our founders. You can read all of this for yourself in the book, The Origins of American Constitutionalism. Over 3,000 direct quotes were isolated, and here are the four most cited sources. 2.9% of the quotes were from John Locke, 7.9% from Sir William Blackstone, 8.3% from Baron Charles de Montesquieu, and the most quoted source at an overwhelming 34% was the Bible. That's more than double the combined total of the other three. The Bible was the most quoted source for 34%, or more than 1,000 of the direct quotes cited in the 15,000 writings from our founders. So if anyone tries to tell you that John Locke was the inspiration behind our founders, you can tell them that the Bible was quoted more than 10 times as often as he was, and actually more than 4 times as often as the second most quoted source. These aren't statistics that we're making up. This is from a 10-year study done by the University of Houston. So where did our founders get their inspiration? According to the sources that they directly quoted, the Bible was far and above anything or anyone else. If you want to try and separate the church from our government, then you would have to try to wipe out 34% of all the quoted sources of our founders. That would be an almost impossible task unless you waited a few hundred years and then tried to rewrite our history. Let's get the most quoted sources of our founders back into government and our schools, the Bible. Now that's something to think about.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. And let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like it's the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we have some encouraging words for you from the kid president. From time to time, we have... I can't say State of the Union addresses from him, but we have these interesting words. But he talks about in this video you're about to see is about speaking to a child, baby that's born on their first day of being alive, what they can expect. Watch this.
There's a lot that the kids need to know. A letter to a person on their first day here. Today, over 360,000 babies will be born, and you are one of them. Welcome, this is the world. It's a pretty cool place. There's lots to see, smell, there's corn dogs. I'm getting ahead of myself. There's just so much to do. Singing, and dancing, and laughing. Laughing's the best. It's especially great when you laugh, milk comes out of your nose. But only if you just have milk. Otherwise, it's just gross. Some days, gross things will happen. Some days, awesome things will happen. Some days, you'll get ice cream. And some days, you won't. Some days, your kite will fly high. Some days, it gets stuck in the tree. It's just how it is here. There's plenty of reasons to dance. You just gotta look for them. Don't worry, though. You won't be doing this alone. You're going to meet lots of people here. Some of them will be really nice, and some won't be. It's not that they can't be. It's just, maybe they're just having a bad day. Being a person is hard sometimes. You should give people high fives just for getting out of bed. Oh, high fives. I forgot to explain that. How do I explain this? It's kind of, high fives are like hitting someone who is your friend. That's really bad. Just treat everybody like it's their birthday. Even if they don't deserve it. Because we all mess up sometimes. The biggest mess up? Not forgiving each other's mess ups. Maybe you'll be a teacher. Maybe you'll be president. Maybe you'll cure every disease ever. You might even see the Grand Canyon, swim in the ocean. Oh, this is so much. It's a lot. Try this. Take a breath. Isn't that amazing? It's called breathing. You're going to do it a lot, but nobody knows exactly how much. So enjoy it. Pay attention. Take brain pictures. Because amazing things will happen every day. You're going to do so much. But it's not about what you do. It's about who you are. And you, you're awesome. You're made that way. You're made from love, to be love, to spread love. And love is always louder, no matter what. Even if hate has a bullhorn, love is louder. So let your life be loud. Let's shout to the world. Things can be better. It's okay about all the mess ups.
Corn dogs rule.
Sorry, I'm just keep bringing that up. I don't think I told you this yet. We're really glad you're here. We don't say that enough to each other here because, well, life gets busy. You're going to be important and you're going to do a lot and you're going to smell great, but don't get too busy. Remember to let everybody know you're glad they're here. You don't have to remember all this right now. You're going to need a pep talk sometimes, and that's okay. For now, remember this. You're awake. You're awesome. Live like it.
Awesome words from the kid president. You're awake, you're here, you're awesome, live like it. And I like what he said, love is louder than hate, even if hate has a bullhorn. And we can't forget that. We can't forget that love is always stronger than hate. And you see a lot of hate in the world today, but it's nothing compared to the love of God. And really cool. Listen, you get so focused on so many things, but life is really... often it's the simple things that bring us the biggest joy and happiness, not to get caught up in all the seriousness of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, it was good. And John?
Yes.
I just want you to know.
Yes.
You smell good.
Well, hey, thank you. I appreciate
I'll
that.
I'll tell you what, if I ever had thank someone you. To share a corn dog with.
Who would it be with?
I would want to share a corn dog with you.
Wow. I feel honored. I feel honored. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
We may have to get some corn dogs.
We'll have to get some corn dogs. Pat, you can come too.
Oh.
Will you share?
I feel loved.
You're welcome, man.
Thanks.
You smell good,
and
too.
And you smell good, too.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, we're going to be talking about, we have been talking about some time, if you missed some of our previous segments, about time to deal with the religious spirit. And very interesting. We're going to attempt to begin this, continue this conversation, really, because we've begun it. But we're going to be having this conversation over a period of time because it's so important that we actually confront this religious spirit, that we uncover it, but most of all, that we overcome it. Mm-hmm. Because this is a dangerous thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it can be left unnoticed, unchecked, and scarily undealt with. And it has to be dealt with. But I've been reading in the Gospels, I've been saying this for quite some time now, just kind of been not stuck there, but just I've been staying there. Mm-hmm. I just feel that what God wants me to do in the season. And I've been reading, you know, letters in red. I encourage you, read the letters in red. Those are Jesus's words. But there's this notion, you know, I don't know if you've ever felt this way or have heard it or just kind of creeps in that, you know, you get saved, you give your life to the Lord, and you want to read the Gospels, you want to read Jesus' words, but, you know, as you mature and as you get older, you know, you got to read Paul's writings. They're so deep. And, you know, Paul had third heaven revelation, and oh, and you got to get into Revelation. And, you know, well, listen, Jesus, you know, in the beginning was the Word, you know, it's like, hello, Jesus taught about the kingdom. Most of the New Testament is about the church. And the Lord told us, he said, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you as well. And it would do us well. It would do us well to hang a while, if you will, on the words of Jesus and what Jesus shared and what Jesus taught and on what Jesus did. I mean, he was constantly teaching. He was constantly preaching. He was delivering those oppressed by the enemy, setting them free, performing miracles, signs, and wonders, and in a short period of time became the ultimate sacrifice, the worthy Lamb of God, who John prophesied and saw and said, who takes away the sin of the world. And so I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea to hang around the Gospels. And just hear the words of what Jesus said. But in reading the Gospels, I have noticed that some things have stuck out to me more than usual, and I think it's important. I think God maybe is speaking about something here in regards to the Pharisees. Did you know that in the book of Matthew, chapter, you know, there's 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, and it's almost every second or third chapter, Jesus is either speaking to, dealing with, rebuking of, or warning the disciples about this group called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I mean, chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 9, chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 16, 19, 21, 22, 23, and 27.
Interesting.
Almost a third of the book of Matthew, almost a third, has in some way context dealing with Pharisees. Think about that. The Baker's Dictionary says that of the 98 times the word Pharisee appears in the New Testament, all but 10 of them occur in the Gospel. So I have this funny, I don't know, idea that maybe if Jesus spent, you know, I don't know, a third of the Matthew, you know what I'm saying, is on the Pharisees, that maybe, I don't know.
Just the thought.
This is something that maybe the church would have to deal with, that the church would experience either being attacked by a religious spirit or maybe having one themselves. Don't know. But we'll continue to talk about it because think about it. A third of the book of Matthew's and Matthew. And what's interesting is that, I mean, I don't know if this ever happened to you. It has happened to me, I will confess. That, you know, if you've read the gospels, like, oh, the Pharisees again. Just, you know, you just kind of just flip through those guys. When will those guys get it?
The nerve of them.
The nerve of them accusing Jesus. I'll tell you.
How could they?
Why does he talk about them so much? Jeez, just flip. Is there another miracle here? Is there another? Maybe we don't need to flip through those pages. And maybe we need to say, God, are you speaking to me about me in this? And I've been paying attention. And what's really interesting is that these guys, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were the most religious people of that day. And if anybody was so equipped to recognize the Messiah, it would have been them.
You think?
Mm-hmm. But they missed it. They missed it. And, you know, I just can't help to think that, you know, maybe God is really wanting to warn us and to highlight this so that we can pay special attention. I believe, and many others do, that, hey, listen, this is the battle that we're facing, one of the huge battles that in this huge war, spiritual war that we're confronting in the last days, is going to be a religious spirit. And we're actually dealing with it now. When you look at all these religions, I mean, look at Islam, look at a lot of these cults and other say religions or cults. I mean, they all have to deal with a lot. Often is a religious spirit. It's a man's attempt to seeking his own righteousness apart of Jesus Christ. So whether that's praying however many times a day, abstaining from certain things, doing certain things, these manual efforts to somehow pay penance towards God, that somehow by doing this, throwing myself on the flames or cutting myself or whatever it is, that somehow God would recognize this as some sort of righteousness and I would earn his good favor. And as ridiculous as that may appear to us, as maybe as Christians, we look at that and say, what are you doing? Carrying that, putting that hook in your back and dragging that thing. What are you, that's crazy. How did you think that, you know, because you tilted your head to the left and faced to a certain direction and crossed your legs and, you know, that was doing so you earned something. You know, what is that? And so we check out and say, oh, that's just a religious spirit for them. But one thing about this spirit is so deceiving. It has so many different, you know, ways it can manifest in one's life. And so you just got to think about it. You got to just pray about it. And you got to ask God to show you, you know, what's the deal in this, you know? One of the things, it's amazing that when you think about religious spirit, you're continually tempted to think that maybe this is somebody else's problem. You know what I'm saying? Maybe this is someone else's issue. And if you thought instantly about that, when you say, oh yeah, I know someone who needs to hear this, probably that's a kind of a clue, that's a sign that maybe that's a religious spirit that's operating there, because we should all be hearing this and saying, Lord, is it me? Is it me? You know, do I have this? When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to, you know, begin to shed light and begin to uncover the spirit and how we can overcome it. When we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing. Well, Pat, I got to ask you, man. I got to tell you, I've been watching these Olympics, man. I a little bit here and there. I mean, you know, catching some glimpses.
Really? How do you have time for that?
just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. You know, listen, they have an app for everything. You know, just catch it on the app. Catch it on the fly,
I know.
Well, I'm really inspired. You know, I hear that Michael Phelps now is the most decorated gold medalist now, or medalist, should I say. And so pretty interesting. Michael Phelps, and I heard the women's gymnastics team took the gold. I think this is the first time. Yeah.
Very good. Man, it's been a while, isn't it?
Yes. First time since, I think, 1996. So they're doing good. Wow. But I tell you, you look at these athletes, you look at the training, you look at their bodies, Pat, not like ours, are in the top,
you know, tip top shape. You know what I mean? They're so they're
what
cut.
What are you trying to say?
Well, you know, okay, never mind.
I'm with you, brother. Top tip shape.
Yeah, you know, so they were inspiring me. I said, you know, maybe I need to work out some. You know, maybe I need to, you know, get some of those ripped abs like Michael Phelps there. And I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you. And then I thought about that work. And I said, you know, there's got to be, Pat, an easier way to do this. Okay, there's got to be a way how we can get ripped. Right. All right.
Uh-huh.
And so I just happened to find a little at what do you call it, a flyer, a little ad here, if you will, mm-hmm. that they're offering this thing called Abhancer. Abhancer.
Uh-huh.
Now listen here, okay? This thing here is a lightweight frame, okay? Mm-hmm. It has adjustable straps, all right? Uh-huh. So it can fit even the roundest of us, okay?
Okay.
It fits beneath the clothing. I want you to think of this. Think of it like a grill, if you will, a metal grill that has the outline of a six pack.
Oh, it like fits under your clothes?
Absolutely.
Like then a girdle.
Now you're talking, brother.
Oh,
all right?
My goodness.
And you put the strap on nice and tight, kind of wear it for, you know, 24 hours, can't move or anything.
Oh, my goodness.
But after that, you'll have an imprinted six-pack, man. And I'll tell you what, you and I can go a long way with that.
Oh, my. Okay.
I was thinking about you, man. I was thinking about you.
Really?
Six packs, you know, six pack in a few minutes, right, you know, or a few hours. But I think we'll put that on the torch. I actually have a picture of that. It is hilarious when I saw it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the guy sitting down watching TV while he's, you know, he's training his six pack, his cuts there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about the religious spirit, how we can uncover it and deal with it, because it's time to go. No longer tolerate it in our midst, in our lives, and let it go. I mean, a third of the book of Matthew alone addresses this spirit as we see it manifested in the lives of the Pharisees. So we want to encourage you, no longer skip those parables and stories and accounts of the Pharisees, but say, maybe I need to pay attention. Because what the religious spirit does, it is the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. Its aim is to replace the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so it's a man-made attempts and things to bring a righteousness, if you will, to earn some sort of favor from the Lord. And one of the things, you know, is interesting. Rick Joyner says that the religious spirit has done far more damage to the church than any New Age movement and all other cults combined.
Wow.
And so oftentimes we think that, you know, it's the enemy without, you know, the outside, but we're starting to discover that maybe it's the enemy within that we need to pay more and more attention. I mean, think about it. It's the same spirit that actually put Jesus on the cross.
Yeah, right.
So it's a murdering spirit.
Evil.
Very evil. And there's different dimensions to it. So it's just, you know, although you... It may not be full-fledged operate. You may see some of it, you may see a lot of it. What's the difference? It's like the person who says, you know, do you want the doctor to operate on your, you want the doctor who's operating on you to use the knife with a little bit of dirt or a lot of dirt? No dirt, right?
No.
Because they both will cause infection. So it doesn't matter the level of degree, but what matters is that you deal with it. Jesus warned the disciples in Matthew 16:6. This is what he said. Be careful. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Be careful. It was a warning because he says, what were their teachings? Their teachings were what? Traditions of men, tradition of the elders that were rooted in pride. You know, they were constantly rooting for us to be careful about this. And the thing about yeast and leaven is that it adds no nutritional value. All it does is it puffs up, but there's nothing to it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, no value whatsoever. And so he's constantly warning the disciples. So if he's warning them, I think he's still warning us. We need to be very, very careful to look at this. And the end game of the religious spirit always is to substitute religious activity for the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the end game.
All right.
is to replace and substitute religious activity, you know, for the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can't, no amount of religious activity is going to be able to do that. In 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And I got to thinking about this, thinking about, like, you know, how much of things that maybe we say are God in our lives is really truly God. I mean, this will really get you to start thinking and really start examining, you know what I'm saying, your heart, really praying. How much, when you boil this stuff down, all the things that you do, the traditions, and all that, just start evaluating. When you get down to the nitty gritty, how much of this is really biblical? How much of this is really God versus maybe ideas, good ideas, you know, but maybe they're not God ideas. Mm-hmm. And whenever we put good ideas over God ideas, then we have tradition and we have religion and we call God's word to be null. You know what I'm saying? We nullify God's word. And so it's important that we look deeply into this. And so we're going to be sharing, you know, about this religious spirit. And I keep thinking about some of the things that Rick Joyner writes in The Harvest, in the chapter, The Persecution. We've spent some time talking about this, and we've had several. In fact, we may even relate this to this segment. But, you know, in the end times, the church is going to be facing such persecution that they're going to need to be, and what's going to happen is that some of it's going to be, you know, because of some of the things that happened and there's humiliation that's coming to the church. But some of this stuff is going to be false accusations that are going to be made against believers. And you know what's going to be used in that? There's going to be those that have a religious spirit that are looking, because part of having religious spirit is fault finding, being critical, and pointing out things. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees were constantly doing that. Can you tell us why those disciples are eating right now? You know, can you tell me why?
Why they didn't wash their hands and their feet?
What are you looking at?
What are you talking about?
Well, it makes me think about just that we've talked about many times before. It's just like that awareness of God, of just simply knowing him in your head versus that encounter in your heart. And, you know, we've talked about it before, is like in that chapter, I mean, it's such a, just a blast of fresh water of just inspiring you, of checking you. It's like, do we know of him or do we know him? Yeah. Because he talks about, he says, it's those that just know God in their heads that are going to fall away from the faith in those moments of persecution, that are going to do the greatest damage, because they're the ones that are going to be used to accuse and fault find and be critical during those moments.
Yeah. And Rick talks about the true need for discernment during that period of time, because we're going to need to know people based upon their fruit and know them by the Spirit's witness.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say that they have a spirit of discernment, but what they have is a judgmental, critical spirit that is rooted in a religious spirit. And so it's like, man, your filter's not right. It's jammed up. It's dirty because it's has a religious spirit as the core of it. And so you're not exercising spiritual discernment. That's where suspicious comes. I've always thought, I have a funny feeling. It's like, is that, and they're calling it discernment. It's like, well, did God say it or God didn't say it? You know what I mean? Are you discerning or are you judging? And you know what? It's easy to do if you're not trusting in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus' finished work on the cross. That's the whole thing. The whole thing is that any time that we are trying to attain a righteousness or doing any religious activity, thinking that it's either going to make us look better in the eyes of God, pay some sort of sacrifice towards God, earn his favor in any kind of way, what we're doing is religious practices that have zero value, and we're not trusting in the complete finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it.
That's what it meant.
It is finished. And it's so easy to for some just to quickly just start out. Just because you started out well doesn't mean you end well. Right. And you may not, maybe totally free, doesn't mean you won't be later on. It's a continual relationship with the Lord, continually focusing on him. I think what happens too is that, you know, initially when we, let's say, stumble, we sin, we come to a place where we failed God, you know, if you continually stay in that place of, man, you know, what do I need to do to get out of this hole? If it takes, you know, 3 weeks of mourning, feeling bad, torturing yourself because you've fallen into sin, and what's going to happen now, and oh, Lord, forgive me. And you ask, you know, you got to ask 50 times. Mm-hmm. And then you got to be in isolation and look depressed for another 3 days and then beat yourself up. And then finally, if after that you feel like, I finally feel forgiven, all of those are religious works. Mm-hmm. Because you can pray instantly in that moment and say, God, would you forgive me for my sin? I've sinned against you. Would you forgive me? And in that moment, instantly, because Jesus already paid the price for your sin, he paid it on the cross, mm-hmm. you're forgiven. You're he loves you. Your sin is washed away. You know, and it's not to negate sin, not to make light of sin. No, this is once we've addressed it, once we've confessed it, once we said, yes, this is wrong, it's the power and the victory is what we behold. We're either going to behold our sin or we're going to behold Jesus mm-hmm. Christ and what he's done for us. When he said, it is finished, it is finished. We'll catch us more as we continue to talk about this in the next hour. You don't want to miss it. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
We'll give a big shout out to all of our television network out there. We're just very thankful for you and encourage everyone to think about supporting local Christian television. And one way you can do that with VFN TV and the daily radio program is visit our sponsors and shop with them, encourage them, and become a partner, because that's the way we help make it all happen.
That's right.
That's actually right. How it happens. And we're thankful for all those that are standing with us today and become a sponsor. I mean, think about this. Of all the things that you could be doing as borders are being overpoured by the sea of humanity, as leaders are going to play golf and do fundraisers, as the church is, they're trying to minimize, hide the cross, hide statues of Jesus, pull prayer out of schools, mess marriage, all these different things. I mean, I think it's bad. I mean, I enjoy the Bass Pro Shop. I mean, I really do. And hey, if you want to become a sponsor, you know, you can. But understand this. This is where you need to put your dollar under the eyes of God. This is what the Word of God says. He says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking someone whose heart is dependent upon him. And right now, understand, 24/7 VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're putting it out there. We are putting it out there. Nobody is putting it out there in the context of what we're doing. And God's speaking. I mean, we're having dreams and visions, and we're actually sharing other prophetic words and dreams and visions. But who's doing that? And we don't apologize for it.
Nope.
We're thankful for it. We want to know what God has to say. And we'll allow God to interpret that to you. And we even, not only that, we even make it available to you continually by going to VFNTV.com. If you saw a program or missed a program, or you want to share a program, or you want to go deeper into a program, it's all right there. It doesn't go away. It's right there on VFNTV.com. And when you go there, you'll actually see sponsors that are standing with us. Visit them. Click on those banners. Say thank you. Send them an email. Or become one today. If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.